Yes, I am the world. I'm John Batchelor with Dr. Christopher Mason of the Weill Cornell Medicine School. He's a professor. He's also a geneticist and a computational biologist and an author. The book is The Next 500 Years, Engineering Life to Reach New Worlds. We've started with the generational shift in the 23rd century, way back here in the beginning of the 21st century. What Chris does with his colleagues routinely is they edit DNA. And Chris has given me permission to use the metaphor, edit like a document, like I pull up Word document and cut and paste. Chris, what is CRISPR? What does it do?
Yeah, I think many in your audience has probably heard of CRISPR or read about it. And CRISPR, it stands for Clustered Regularly Interspaced Short Palindromic Repeats. And that's a big mouthful. But what it really is basically a bacterial immune system. It's kind of like a system that keeps track of what viruses have bacteria encountered and then remembers them. And part of the process is cutting DNA and embedding DNA and replacing it to remember viruses that a bacteria has seen. And this has been used by many people, including Jennifer Doudna and Charpentier, the people who just won the Nobel Prize last year, to discover it really a couple decades ago, but then also to think, how do we use this in human cells or perfect the system, including work by those like Feng Zheng? Basically, these immune systems where you can go in and snip and cut and copy and paste, much like you think of when you pull up a Word document or a Google Doc and you say, I want to just start to typing, as if it's really the canvas of life that you can start to type in. Most of the canvas of life in the world today is DNA is already written, but this gives us a way to begin to edit the actual sort of canvas of life, the document of the genetic code of organisms. And it's really exciting because it's one of now several systems that let us do this. The CRISPR, there's other ones called Omega systems. There are new ways where you can think of a whole book of life and say, well, I'd like to make some changes. In some cases, it's already being used to cure disease, like sickle cell disease or beta thalassemia. We're using CRISPR in people's bodies as a therapeutic, which I talk about in the book. And this is there's trials like this at New York Presbyterian, at Cornell, where I am at. There's trials all over around the world engineering immune cells to do this. So this is an extraordinary time. We are literally curing diseases with these tools. And so, and high school students can use CRISPR and modify genomes and DNA right at the bench. So it's really, it is an empowering time to edit DNA. And soon we can even start to build whole new bits of DNA systems.
Is this what Isaac Asimov referred to when he used the 20th century word mutation, except for you're in charge?
Yeah, exactly. Mutation historically is always random. You don't know, when you walk down the street, you get some too much sunlight, UV radiation, random cosmic rays. But instead of being subject to the shuffle of the deck of the universe, which is random and whimsical, we now can really take the steering wheel of mutations and direct them and even repair them and change them. So that alone is already extraordinary. But what's also amazing is there's now epigenome editing. So if you can imagine editing the document of life, like if you have a book in your hand, you say, I'd like to move these paragraphs or edit these words. The epigenome is how, the book of life is open to be read or not. And so this is when you have DNA. Imagine if you have a book, but you can only read 2 pages, but it has 100 pages, but you just can't see them all. That's why your genome, your DNA normally exists. With epigenome editing tools, as I talk about as well in the book and we do in my lab, you can change that as well. You can even change how and when the DNA gets used, not just what DNA is there. So the two different really explosion of tools in the past 10 years have dramatically changed how we view really the next few centuries.
There is a genetic toolbox. You're unpacking that genetic toolbox. You're taking charge of the results of that genetic toolbox. You mentioned a news item over these last years that is illustrative of where we are in the early 21st century. I believe the man's name was He Jianku. And in 2019, he edited a toolbox to preserve the possibility of giving birth to a couple that was plagued by a disease. But in any event, babies were born. And he was arrested and punished. Why?
There are multiple reasons why he was punished. This question of can we epigenetically or even genetically, can we make human embryos that have been genetically modified? It's no longer hypothetical. It's been done, as you just described. And the problem with what he did was that it was a protocol to inform the parents, this is what we're going to do with your embryos. This is what we're actually doing. But the consent was actually not that they couldn't really understand it, is what one of the big criticisms that he was kind of glossing over some of the complications of it. But even if they understood it, one of the biggest challenges, what he did is what he did is something called a CCR5 deletion, which is you take this gene, which is kind of the receptor that lets HIV into your T cells, like basically brings the virus into the cells. And his idea on the surface seemed okay. Like, well, let's just get rid of that receptor. So then the virus can't get into your human cells. And then you basically can be immune to HIV, which sounds kind of, you know, sounds good. I wish I could be immune to every virus, right? And just be natively immune at birth. And we know this because some patients who are born with this mutation are also immune to almost all forms of HIV. So on the surface, it seemed like a good idea. But the problem is that gene, which is called CCR5, also, if you have that deletion, you have a higher risk of getting West Nile virus and having complications. So in genetics, we call this pleiotropy. It means maybe you've protected yourself against one thing, but then you may have gotten a risk for a second problem. So we so there was consent problems and then also just biological problems that we don't yet know enough to start editing embryos quite yet, I'd say.
The present condition, however, you project into the future. The whole joy of this book is that Chris is not looking just now, he's looking forward.
Right, right.
You believe that in the next 20 years, you will have a toolbox that gives you confidence where to cut and what result you're going to have?
Absolutely, because there are more than one ways to prepare the document of life. And there are better ways to do the editing where you have, as far as we can tell, you edit only one base out of 3 billion and nowhere else. And the tools are being developed as we speak, some in my lab, many in many other labs. But one is called prime editing, or called PEG guide RNAs, these different RNAs that basically make it much more precise cuts than, as far as we can tell, are perfect in some cases. So you only get that one spot change. And there's also other kinds of systems beyond CRISPR, as I alluded to, that can do this kind of enzymology or this kind of cutting. So it's like going into a kitchen where we've only found a few, you know, knives and some maybe tongs, and we think, okay, we can start to cook a meal. But suddenly we found there's all these other tools that we're discovering that let us do all sorts of work in the kitchen. And so we, you know, this is just getting started. So I think in the next 5 to 10 years, we'll see a lot more of this. And there's already lots of clinical trials, but we'll see even more. And once we know it's safe and effective, then we can deploy it for people like astronauts or others as well, who aren't sick, but are just going into high risk areas.
Right. Astronauts are the focus here because we're talking about interstellar travel and what you need to arm yourself for the risks of that environment where we were not developed for the last several million years. We have an atmosphere and a magnetosphere protecting us. And Chris is talking about preparing us for beyond that.
Exactly.
The book
is
The Next 500 Years, Engineering Life to Reach New Worlds. Dr. Christopher Mason of the Weill Cornell Medicine Professor. And we're turning now to editing cells, cellular engineering. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,